Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 8. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you understand, I'm really not going to preach on today's text. I rarely free text it. It's also the case that, according to John, as Luther made a lot, we are the vine, he is the vine, we are the branches, we bear fruit, and it's especially those branches that are pruned that bear the most luscious fruit. In fact, Luther says, the branches that are fertilized bear the most precious fruit. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5. Have you ever been unjustly accused of something or defamed? Sure you have. It reminds me of my boys when they were young. I was always amazed at how they developed, and early on they developed religious thoughts and political thoughts and sociological thoughts, and none were more prominent than their legal thoughts. They became lawyers. And when something had to be punished, I had to do it, much to my chagrin, but I had to do it. But I knew when they needed it, and I knew that when I was being unjust. Because they had that true plea. They had the case tight. They were speaking with deep sincerity and deep conviction about their innocence. And they always convinced me. It's interesting. Jesus is defamed and accused, and he doesn't respond in kind. Isaiah 53, and it's so wonderful, this text. You know, there have been great discoveries about Isaiah just in the last year. They discovered a little letter from, I think, Sennacherib, 8th century BC, demanding tribute from the king of Judah. And it's in Akkadian, the ancient Assyrian language, first time ever found. Totally verifies what's going on in Isaiah's life. And not far away, an Isaiah bulla was found. And not far away from that, another bulla was found of Hezekiah, king in the 8th century. You know why it's found? Because it's true. Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. I'm not Jesus. Not even close. I remember this phenomenon in Australia, visiting years ago in the 80s when I was on exchange in the Lutheran Church of Australia Seminary, seeing a sheep operation, thousands of sheep, and the shearing was going on. They bring these men in, they pay them to shear the sheep, and these sheep are bleating like crazy, and all of a sudden they get in the chute, they quiet down, and they are absolutely silent while the shearer shears them clean of wool. And after they're done with it, they're all nicked up and they're bleeding and everything else, but they don't bleat. Like a sheep before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus fulfilled this during his arrests and trials by remaining silent despite accusations. Jesus was charged with blasphemy by the religious authorities, and he was accused of insurrection over against the Romans. Before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest stood up and said, "Answer us, Jesus, what is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. Mark 14 echoes, "And the high priest stood up in the midst of and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make?' But he remained silent. Before Herod, Luke 23, Herod questioned him at length, but he made no answer. Before Pilate, Matthew 27, then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge." It astonished Pilate. Why no response? The witnesses didn't hold up. The accusations of blasphemy, claiming to be God in the flesh, "I and the Father are one." The high priest tears his garments when he hears it. More accusations fly before Pilate. Claims to be king of the Jews and therefore against Caesar, is against paying taxes. All of it lies. Why no response? Because he came to do exactly what he came to do. "For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." He is silent because he suffers vicariously for all of us. He suffers the rejection, the accusation, the torment, the death, which is totally deserved by all of us, certainly me. The wages of sin is death. He satisfies the law and demands its demands completely. "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away, everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he invites it. He takes it. He takes it up where it lay. And he does with it exactly what needed to be done with it for every sinner in the world. He is the propitiation, apolitrisis, the payback for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? I'd rather be defamed 1,000 times by some editorial screw-up than suffer sexual abuse as a adolescent once. but he's taken it on himself. Jesus. Jesus, our risen Savior, is our only hope. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our refuge. Jesus is our healer. Jesus, only Jesus. He's no longer silent before anyone. Come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And he promises to work all things for good, even in the darkest hours. God grant it for his sake. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.